Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me for the conclusion of this message, Jesus and Jonah. We've been making a comparison of the ministry of Jonah with that of Jesus. And we understand from references in Matthew and in Luke that Jesus, when he was speaking to the Pharisees, said that no sign would be given to that generation, but that of the sign of the prophet Jonas. And we see that there were definite comparisons and similarities in the ministry of Jonas as well as Jesus, that he said he was a sign of Christ. And we see that Jonah is a sign of Christ in his sacrifice. He was willing to be thrown overboard, just as Jesus was willing to leave heaven and suffer the indignities, the sorrows, the torture and death of violent men to save mankind and restore them to fellowship with the Father. He was like Jesus in his burial. Jonah was cast forth into sea, and Jesus was buried in a rock-hewn sepulcher, but it also implies a descent into Hades, the world of the dead, which was, of course, believed to be far below the surface of the earth. And he preached to those who would hear the message of salvation. And it was to bring peace. That was the purpose of Jesus' descent, to lead captivity captive, to give gifts unto men. Now, we want to look in conclusion at other similarities between Jesus and Jonas. We see that just as Jonah was actually in the place of death, he should have been dead in the natural, but God preserved his life in the belly of the whale. He had conscious activity in the place of death. And of course, that's exactly true with Jesus. His physical body literally was dead. But we see in the case of Jonah, the seamen buried Jonah at sea. They thought for sure he was dead, and they doubtless mourned over him as one dead. However, he didn't die. He was actually alive after he was buried in the belly of the whale, if you will. He was a living, conscious, active soul in the deep. And that was a real first. This is a very dramatic illustration from the Lord, filled with so many marvelous lessons. And when we see Christ, when he perished, when he died on the cross, he was buried. His friends mourned him as dead, even his disciples. They were thrown into consternation and confusion. And even while the women were preparing the spices, he was preaching to the spirits in prison, those who had died in the faith of his coming and who waited for his resurrection. And of course, they were similar in their resurrection. The Jews required a sign. And Jesus said, "There shall be no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonas." They had had many signs, yet one remained to be given, and that was the sign of his resurrection. The Lord spoke to the fish. This is all so supernatural, but it happened. It was literal. It was real. It vomited Jonah out upon the dry land at Nineveh. And God the Father spoke to Jesus. He spoke to that dead, lifeless body. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus came forth, raised from the dead in resurrection power, the first of many sons. And we too one day will have a glorified body like Jesus. So Jonah came out of the depths with the same individuality with which he was cast in. And it was the same Jesus that rose from the dead, that was buried in a rich man's tomb. Neither of them saw corruption. So what can we say in conclusion? We can see that Jonah had suffered a loss of face. He was, I won't take the time, but he was very unhappy with the results. They did repent. They did turn to the Lord. He had prophesied an event which did not take place. And in fact, God still was dealing with him. We don't know where it went after the end of the book. That's what's recorded, but he would rather 120,000 Ninevites be destroyed than that happen for him to lose face. But we can contrast this with Jesus. It says his beautiful face was marred more than any man. That's Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, verse 14. As many were stoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Jesus had claimed power and glory, but his enemies deliberately destroyed his face. They took away his credibility by the humiliating disgrace of crucifixion. At least they thought they had done. So we see in this comparison that Jesus is truly greater than Jonah in his willingness to lose face and to be misunderstood as a deceiver. Well, there's probably so much more that could be shared and gleaned from this wonderful book, but I pray that which I have shared with you is a blessing and encouragement to your heart, that God is faithful, and that no matter how many times we fall, we can even be disobedient as Jonah, yet God's mercy reaches out to us. And, you know, I've just been waiting before the Lord and praying for the needs that have come in and been reflecting on the importance of the will of the Lord. You know, as ever since I was a very young baby Christian, very young in the Lord, I always knew the best way to pray was for the Lord's perfect will. And as we, you know, and the Word says that through John, if we pray according to His will, we know that He will have the petitions that we've desired of Him. And so, beloved, wherever you might be today in your spiritual walk, I just want to encourage you to praise God for those victories that you desire of the Lord. For as you do that, what actually occurs, that's why the Lord says to praise Him all the time, because when we do that, we enter into the realm of faith, faith that will not be denied as we pray according to His will. Many times we pray out of our own carnal understanding and desires. And beloved, that's a serious thing. You know, I was meditating upon this, and I was thinking of the words of Samuel as he spoke to Saul after his disobedience, and he said, the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. What does that mean? It means that as we want our own will, as we pray for our own will, it's really as the sin of rebellion. We should be, as the psalmist, declaring, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. So as we pray in the Spirit, with our understanding, as well as in our heavenly language, as we come into one accord with God's will in any given situation, we enter into a unity with Him that will cause His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 15. So, beloved, don't let discouragement, don't let depression and hopelessness and defeat find any place in you. You know, we're not to give place to the devil. Even though it might seem right now your prayers have been unanswered, even though loved ones seem worse off than when you started praying for them, you know, the Israelites were under Egyptian bondage. They suffered sorely and they cried out for years by reason of their slavery, the Word says. But God, in His time, surely fulfilled His word, and He delivered them with mighty and marvelous signs and wonders. So just be encouraged right now. Father, I pray that You will strengthen Your beloved. Oh, my precious child, says the Spirit of prophecy, my child, hear my words today. If you could see from my vantage point, from my eternal throne in the heavens, you would never fret or be disheartened. You would see how my love surrounds you as a shield, and how I keep you from harm, how I guard you as the apple of my eye. Surely, in my love and wisdom, I have not answered some of your petitions as you have desired. For I have greater and more excellent plans and blessings for you. Nothing delights my heart more than when my children trust in me. Even though circumstances are adverse and they are disappointed and frustrated with the outcome of their expectations. Beloved, even though you might be disappointed, beloved, you cannot comprehend the length, the depth, the width, the measure of my love for you. I watch over you jealously to accomplish my desire in your life. I will not permit the enemy to destroy you. Do you hear that, my beloved? My hand is over you. My everlasting arms are beneath you. You will not be destroyed. You will not be given over to the evil one. My dealings with you, beloved, are divinely orchestrated, if you will, to perfect your faith and to bring you into maturity. Did not my son Jesus, as it is written in the Word of God, learn obedience by the things that he suffered? Therefore, beloved, faint not, for in due season you shall reap a great harvest of righteousness, a great harvest of joy, as well as my abundant favor. The season of suffering and the season of testing shall bring forth a season of accomplishment and fruition, even regarding your heart's desires. Rejoice, for joy cometh in the morning, says your heavenly Father. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I bless the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking of Psalm 21, verses 1 through 5. It says, Thou hast given him his heart's desires. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips. Thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. He has life of thee, and thou gavest it him even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Amen. We can rejoice in his salvation. Well, my time has come to an end. I do invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I look forward to being with you again next time when the Lord brings us together. But until that time, know that I love you, I'm praying for you, and I'm asking God's best. Forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.